Blog Talk Radio.
Scott Enster Network.
Beautiful here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, even though there's a storm all around me. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about deception and different things that are part of this plot to remove us as God's people from the face of this planet. It's really what it amounts to. When I think of the eye of the storm, I think of some of the old Gilligan Island episodes. I'm 60 now, and I remember as a child, a young boy, that when that series came out, I remember when it was in black and white, that it was a big deal, that it went color TVs came out. It's funny to look back at that. It was such a long time ago, but it's part of who we are in America, the sitcoms, the shows. But when we realize what Hollywood really is, when we see who the actors really are now, a lot of actors back then weren't part of that. There was still a lot of people that for a short time, did their thing and then moved on. But many of them, especially today, that you're not going to go anywhere unless you're on the game plan. And to be on the game plan, you have to sell your soul. You've got to submit yourself 100% and even have your soul taken out, and then there'll be a walk-in, and or there's a clone made of you. And then as Julie has pointed out before on the rituals, on the timelines, those are the occult numbers. We see them being killed off one at a time, and it's just the way it is for them. Now, we in America are in the eye of the storm, and you'll note when you look at some of the pictures on the website, like a true hurricane, that what you see around everywhere else is chaos. And so America is literally the world is in this massive chaos. I was doing some research today, and it's hard. One of the tricks I do to do a search is sometimes I'll go to images, and then I can quickly look through and see something that catches my eye instead of having to do it the other way, and it proves out, and I usually get to where I'm going. And unfortunately, I see all these pictures of death and destruction and beheading and car bombings and even the sacrifice of children, and it's difficult. It reminds me that the rest of the world is in such chaos, and there's such a blackout on it now. Fox in general, that they, because I don't even watch them anymore. If you're still watching TV, I don't know why you are, because it's all propaganda, it's all lies, it's all staged, and I've paid so little attention to them anymore. I don't remember what networks are out there. I remember when Fox came along, and I don't remember if you remember they set the stage for that, but they tried to say that there was no need for another network. Okay, you had NBC, CBS, the basic three, and then Fox came along, and they were just making all this hoopla about it, and it was all stage. What the whole idea was to try and take those who had some semblance of conservatism and draw them into that. And I've heard people like, you know, that listen to the BBC and some of the other public networks that are all liberals, because when I was doing engineering, I worked around a lot of liberals, and which I found absolutely repulsive and disgusting because I couldn't believe the ignorance of them. And they literally thought I was crazy. I can tell you stories on stories that I told them something and they laughed at me, and now it's a fact. Just even the oil reserves and the natural gas and the fracking, when I mentioned that 10 years ago, they laughed at me. And we're talking about hydrologists. We're talking about people that should know that these resources are there. But the point of it is the brainwashing, the ignorance, and what I'm going to bring together here, that when you have demonization, when you have possession of an individual, what you have is a storm. Because when you have somebody that, let's say, is demonized, that's one thing. That can be corrected. That through the blood of Christ can be resolved. It may be in fragments. It may take time. There may not be a complete total, but there'll be enough that a person can function and still be a warrior for Christ, still be a bondservant. Now, when you have possession, what you can have is an individual that has the appearance that everything is okay. It doesn't mean, you need to understand this, it doesn't mean that they're crazy, or they're going to act crazy, or they're going to fall to the ground and they're going to spit up green stuff. They're actually going to be a calm, even act compassionate, logical individual who's nothing more than a drone, who's nothing more than something as a tool of the devil. Now, when we talk about manifestations, that's when you see somebody who's possessed, then the demons are up, acting out their nature. So what I'm talking about is when I say demons are up in an individual, when I'm looking at somebody, there's an instance that I call a looky look. And what it means is that the demon will come up in the individual, and since the eyes are the window to the soul, and when I was on Marcus over a year ago, time has really gone by there, I did a three-part series on his show about you know, we did the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, the frontal lobes, the back, you know, the cortexes, and the eyes. Actually, when we're being formed in the womb, and it's really bizarre and it's freaky to think about it, but the eyes actually grow out from the brain, and the optic nerve connects the brain to the eye, as we know, right? So the eyes are actually a part of the brain. This is why when you see somebody upset, when you see somebody that is happy, when you see somebody that is angry, this is why we can see in their eyes what's going on in their brain. Now, when someone is possessed, then this action can be suppressed because the individual's emotions, they as an individual, emotions are gone. As Scott Bitkin brought to our attention, that when a demon is up and you have somebody who's acting like they're upset and they're crying and they're making all this noise, you won't have any tears. There'll be no tears. But when the human is up and the emotions are there, you'll have tears. So what I'm getting at is that throughout the United States and throughout the world, we have people who are completely possessed, completely taken over, and they are giving the appearance that everything is okay. They're talking to you logically. They're giving you reason. They're not getting upset. They're doing things that look like everything is okay. But in reality, it's like the eye of the storm. Because as soon as the demons, which have a hive mentality, they're all connected, they're all, whether you want to call it clairvoyance or familiar spirits or just the spirit realm communication with a handler, then what we have is the ability to, when the whistle sounds, when the horn blows, then you can have an absolute situation where they're all released at once. And then the very nature of what the demon is in the person can come out. Now, I have never, never once ever found an individual that only had one demon. And if you have somebody that has a particular demon, then there's a cluster, there is a formation. There is a classification of demons generally associated to each other. Kind of like the workings of an engine, a car engine. You've got pistons, you've got a crankshaft, you know, you've got gears, you've got, you know, distributor, you've got carburetor, you've got all these things that make up an engine. And the engine won't function unless it has all the parts. And so what you have is these possessed liberals, because that's what they are, they're possessed, and many of them are accursed from birth. Many of them are not going to come out of it. Many of them are going to be the ones cursing God during these times. Many of them are going to be fighting even harder against God's people when this stuff comes down, because they'll actually think that they're doing the world a service. They'll actually think that they're serving their God, and we see this with Islam. Okay. Now, when we look at the world, and we look at Czechoslovakia, we see Holland, we see Germany, we see parts all over the Ukraine and just everywhere, China, all this insanity, all this madness, and what's the end result? Death, murder, blood flows in the streets, rape, ceremonies of rituals that kill children. That's all over the world. Now, that's starting to take place here in the United States to a higher degree. It always has. But it's starting to become the norm with the politicians, with corporate leaders, with those that are behind the scenes as puppeteers. Excuse me. And what that means, that as I mentioned before, that when they're at a certain point, because they're demon-possessed, that the workings of the engine, that the next demon in line will come out. Okay? Piston goes up, piston goes down. Piston goes up, piston goes down. Six-cylinder, eight-cylinder. So now the other demons are on its way. The other demons can be the murderous demons. The other demons can be the abusers. The other demons can be the bloodsuckers. The other demons can be those things of witchcraft to even employ more mind control. Now, it's not easy being in this ministry. You got to have a thick skin. Again, I kind of mentioned the other day that I'm going through another round of stuff. And where's it all coming from? It's all coming from those who believe they're Christians, those who believe they have the truth, those who belong to churches that are brainwashed by the system. Okay? I've mentioned before that as Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, then why has hell prevailed against the so-called American Christian church? T.D. Jakes has accepted, and I'm sure he's getting paid handsomely. I mentioned last night on tinfoilhatclub.com that he is now going to be a spokesman in representation of bringing homosexuality into the Christian church. He's embracing it. When in reality, most likely he is himself anyways, because he's a false teacher. He's a false prophet. And anyone that's been on TBN, anyone that's been associated with TBN has to be held suspect, because they, if just as we've looked at the logo before, and we've looked at the behaviors and the teachings and the pre-trib and all the pre-destination, the prosperity doctrines, all the stuff that they show have absolutely nothing to do with your walk with Christ, have nothing to do with being battle-hard ready for the end times. And what everything that we've seen is nothing more than a programming that keeps everyone in bondage. And that bondage is literally going to lead to your death. Now, the deception, when a storm comes, like for instance, dust storms in Arizona. Boy, as a kid, we used to have fun with those. And I don't know if you know what dust devils are. Some, I've even had liberals deny dust devils exist when we used to play in them as kids. And it's a kind of a mini little tornado. And since the desert is dust and dirt and sand, they make quite a show. And as kids, we used to run over to them and try and stand in the middle. And sometimes we'd even be knocked over. And we thought that was pretty funny. Of course, you know, if you're only 10 years old, you're not very heavy. But the thing of it is that we could see the storms coming. Very seldom did storms... Now, I have been there. In fact, I was on Lake Mead when a vicious storm just hit, and it was like a small tornado that came out of Utah and came down over on the Colorado. And it was amazing how quickly it hit, and we were in trouble and a complete whiteout. Otherwise, it was the water coming down and the water being blown off the lake was so intense, we couldn't see anything in front of us in the boat we were in. We were in a houseboat, and there was 12 of us, and it was a touch and go. There were boats that were sunk all over the place. It was just an amazing situation, and God was there the whole time. Again, I'll tell that story maybe later. We'll see. But the point of it is that most of the time when a dust storm comes in Arizona, it's really spectacular. Now they're calling them haboos. Okay, so let's bring in all this Eastern Muslim stuff in. But the point of it is that, like from Tucson, I was in Phoenix, Tempe, Arizona. The storms generally came out from Tucson, and you could almost as high as you could see was this complete wall of darkness just moving in towards Phoenix. And so we were able to prepare ourselves. We were able to get ready. Now, deception, many people think that we can see deception coming like that type of storm, and that we think we're not going to be fooled. We think we're not going to be tricked. We think we're going to know when we've been lied to, when in reality, we're already in the deception. We're already in the lie. The church is the lie, and I'm sorry, it's the truth. Now, I have to base... You know, everything, one, verifying it with Scripture and the behavior of the church does not line up. We talk about that all the time. That's, you know, the basis of our shows. But doing the deliverance ministry now for as long as I have, I also base everything on what I see. You shall know them by their fruits. And their fruits have not produced, or their actions have not produced a godly fruit. Sure, you get head knowledge, you feel good, you think, you know, that you got a handle on it. When in reality, most of you don't know how to pray. Most of you don't know how to war. And when I'm talking about praying, what I'm talking about is standing in the authority of who you are in Christ. Many of you don't know who you are. Now, of course, if you're a longtime listener, and you've read my books, you've read the articles, you've listened to the shows, and we prayed with you over the phone and everything else, you've got a good handle on everything. You're already further along than the average Christian within a church, or one who calls themselves Christians. I'm sorry, I really believe there's a lot of people in churches who are not in Christ. If the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and convinces me to do what I'm doing and do it for as long as I've been doing to help people out of bondage and to do all the other things that go along with it. I mean, it's actually fairly complex, and everything that I do on my own. You know, every dime that comes in here turns around and goes back. I put it into the whole system. I've built everything up from scratch. And when you look at those people in the church, none of them would ever accept my ministry, a large percentage of them. I'm dealing with that right now. I've actually got people who think I'm nuts, who actually think that I'm out of line, I'm out of order, and that I'm unbiblical. And I've got those accusations being placed now within my community. And the amazing thing is, every one of these people who are doing this are screwed up. And every one of them, I'm sorry, are candidates to take the mark of the beast. Because they lived in the lie, in the deception, so long They're in that eye of the storm here in America, where everything is somewhat okay. Okay, obviously it's not, because what we've got is the back end of the storm coming. So we had the Old Testament, we had the coming of Christ. He paid the sacrifice on the cross. He took care of everything, and in some essence, the world has been somewhat still, even though we've had World War I or World War II. See, the whole world would be in a lot worse shape if Jesus had not done what he had done. There are factions here. There are skirmishes here. There's wars and this and that. You know, we've got Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan, all the stuff that's come on. But see, the whole world has yet to be turned upside down of a point of no return. And here in America, we're in the eye of the storm, and that back end is coming. And I can remember, again, referring back to Gilligan's Island, which was, I have to admit, was one of the stupidest shows, but it was so stupid it was funny. You know, we had the Beverly Hillbillies back then. We had My Favorite Martian. We had Bewitched, which was the founding to make white witchcraft, for people to accept white witchcraft as good. That Gilligan had to hold on to one of the palm trees when the back end came, and he was sitting there flagging like a flag. And it was funny because in reality, there are some people that hang on to trees. I get that. There are some people who tie themselves to trees. In fact, I've seen that in some villages and some places, that's actually part of what they know to do, because those things are so strong, including tsunamis. But the point of it is that here in America, that's coming, and most people are not going to be able to hang on to the tree. Most people are not going to be able to deal with those things that are coming, emotionally and spiritually. Yeah, Mr. Ed, in fact, the gentleman had just recently died. That was a funny show. It was one of the cleaner shows. Now, I'm sure that if Julie were to sit down and go through it, she'd probably pick some things out. But I have to admit, they did a pretty good job with that. In fact, that was one of the first special effects shows that they had to do, because, they actually did a good job with the horse and how his mouth moved. But anyways, so here we have America and our churches who really think that everything's okay. They think they're going to get out of here. They're fat, dumb, and happy. They're fat, dumb, and happy. Just like when I worked for Motorola in the department I was in, we made the 64K DRAM memory chip, Commodore 64, color computer 64. 64 chips were a big deal. You had the 16 and the 32, and the 64s came out. Man, that was big stuff. I can remember a salesman in Radio Shack saying, "Oh, you don't need so much memory. You couldn't even turn a computer on now with that memory." But the point of it is that NEC, Japanese companies, and some of the others, that Motorola did not advance themselves to the next stage of the 256 or the 1 meg. And so when NEC and some of the Japanese companies came along, they literally ran over the top of Motorola, and I lost my job. I lost my home. There was a whole community of Motorolans, technicians and workers and lab workers and everything else, that literally bought up these brand new residential areas. And in 1985, approximately around that time, that the United States government or Congress was allowing unfair trade with computer chips with America, and we just got wiped out. I mean, I was amazing. It just hit us like a storm, and we were running fat, dumb, and happy. We didn't think anything would ever end, and sure enough, the whole department closed down, and lost my job and lost the home, and it was just amazing. So I learned a lesson there. I learned that no matter how good things look, no matter that the future looks like it's rosy, of course I can't say that now, and we know that, that we have to be prepared. Because when that all happened, I felt like I had failed. I felt like I had failed my family, because the jobs were... there were so many people laid off, because Motorola, by the way, with the state of Arizona, the copper mines and Motorola, and then eventually Intel, because Intel's huge there too, they were the largest employers. So when they laid off, there were massive layoffs. In fact, when Motorola laid off at their Phoenix facility, they hired a whole bunch of buses, and they took all the employees over to the 52nd Street Armory, where the National Guard was, and brought them in the large hangars and told them all at once. That way they had military there to control the situation, because many, many, many people were really upset. So there was no jobs, and it was very difficult to find a job. And I was, I was taking anything I could get, and those were times. But again, the point of it is that we're here. And so the churches are not preparing you. People are still denying and saying that these things aren't going to take place. Still thinking that there's going to be a pre-trib rapture and that these people aren't going to have to deal with it. And in reality, they're absolutely incorrect. They're absolutely stupid in their thought. And it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening to think that there's still people who actually think that way and that actually come against those who are actually trying to do something. And what that means, I'm trying to look at the chat room as I'm talking. I can multitask, but I don't see very well. In fact, I was working with the ELF receiver. I think I mentioned that. I got two of them. I'm going to give one to Julie. And what we're going to do is when we war and pray, we're also going to see if it works like a Frank box and we can hear spirits on it. But I don't see so well anymore, and I had to get one of those big magnifiers that are on a desk, and it's on a little swing that comes over, and that's how I had to solder that whole thing together. I can't see anymore, and I even had number two power glasses on, so I don't know. I haven't even turned the thing on yet. I got to apply power to it and do some tuning, so I don't even know how that's going to work out. So I have it again with text on the screen. It takes me a while to look at it. Yeah, hold eyes. Yeah, I saw that one. Anyways, I used to work on electronics. I mean, I could literally work on stuff that was surface mount technology. You know, instead of the old DIP package type where, you know, you saw the big resistor and you saw the big transistor, and even the chips, you know, were a fair size. They were, you know, for the time they were small, but now they're huge. Now we have what's called surface mount, and then, of course, now you have the nanotechnology. But anyways, the point, again, is that we have a culture of Christians. Think about this. We have a culture of Christians that are so ill-prepared that they're willing to even go against those who are sounding the alarm correctly, those who are trying to bring everyone up to speed, those who are trying to take back what the enemy has stolen, to make right what the devil has made wrong. And that's opposition. That's one of the things I was talking about. I've had more opposition from those people who call themselves Christians than anyone else. Now, let me get back to possession. Let me get back to demonization. And remember, I mentioned that in possession, the demon is up all the time. And again, let me define that. What it means is that the demons have taken control of the person's mind. And so you can sit down at a coffee shop and maybe hold a conversation with somebody, and the whole time you've just had a conversation with a demon. You didn't have a conversation with the person. Now, I've been in restaurants, I've been in, you know, stores, and I've had people manifest just because of my presence. And when I referred to the looky look, looky loo, what I see is the demon comes up. As I was talking about the brain, when the demon comes up and you can actually see into the soul, into the person, and it's very dark. So otherwise you had somebody that had normal eyes, or they had somebody that was capable of, you know, giving a presence of being friendly, compassionate, you know, having nice eyes, so to speak. And now all of a sudden you've got an animal like an alligator looking at you. This cold, still look that just looks through you. They don't look at you. They look through you, because they're actually looking into us to see who we are. And that happens a lot. And I've mentioned before, I've even had people come up to me and go, man, I don't know you, but all I know is I don't like you. And then they turn around and walk away. So what you have is these people that the demons rub all the time. Now, what I'm seeing is, I'm seeing this in liberalism, but I'm starting to see this in those who call themselves Christians. I'm starting to see those people that call themselves bond servants or call themselves followers of Christ. But boy, I walked into a church one time and the pastor looked at me like he was literally a reptile coming out of the water to get the prey on the shore. And he was from South Africa. And I'm starting to see a connection with South Africans, and I'm not you know, pointing the fingers at anybody, but there's a connection. Same thing with Australia, same thing with London. As soon as I meet somebody and that is one of the you know, that's brought up, that's where they're from, immediately I'm on suspicion. Again, it doesn't mean across the board, but I'm finding that there's a high number. Otherwise, if I meet five people, chances are three of them may say they're Christians, may say they serve Christ, but they're not. Now, that's starting to become the numbers that I'm starting to see in the church. So the eye of the storm also means that it's within the church. And I've talked about the vision that I had in a few years back, that I literally saw where the possession, the demonization, hit so hard, so quick, so fast, that people that you even knew that you thought were Christians, and maybe even yourself might have some rattling of your cages, but that means that the demons, with the hand of God being lifted, that the manifestations and the nature of what the demons are literally going to manifest in the people. And I'm telling you right now, those in the church, that's where it's going to start. Now, when we see that a man had his father's wife and how appalled they were, that they would turn him over to Satan for a time in hopes that his soul would be saved. Otherwise, the torment would be so bad. Just like the old French jails, the old prisons were so bad that, you know, less than 1% of anybody ever returned back to a prison once they got out, because they wanted nothing to do with it. It was that bad. And so we're going to see a change in people. We're going to see people sell each other out. I was kind of taking a few notes here. Let me go through here. Now, there's those that I refer to as troublemakers that very quickly become what I call crazy makers. Now, I've mentioned wolf packs in the church before. Generally, these are women. Generally, these are women who do not know their place. I'm sorry, but it's a fact. Again, when we see Revelation 2:20 with Jezebel, Jesus was very adamant about scolding the angel of that church that he allowed that to take place. And so what we see is that we see those who have elevated, who have raised themselves above others, that since God is God of order, then this automatically tells us that it's not of God. And that these people become self-righteous. They become judging in a manner without referring to Scripture. So otherwise, they're basing the judging they are doing on the teachings of the church and not the Word of God. They're basing the judging for comparison on the philosophy or the nature of the community and or the nature of the doctrine that's within the church. Otherwise, there's a mindset. You can go to different churches, and the people will be different. The people, the air about it, the spirit about the church will be different. And so, based on that mindset, that what I have found, and I'm sorry, I need to say this, and Julie agrees with it, that when you have a church that the women are in charge, or the women are capable, are the ones making the biblical moves, making the biblical calls, making those things that are out of order, because it should be men taking care of business. It should be men running the place. It should be those who are doing the job that they've been called to do by Jesus Christ, because the order of things is for man himself. Now, man was put in charge of the garden. If you got a problem with that, you need to take it to God. And when I have seen that a church is out of order, then what I have seen is a church that's full of demons. I've seen a church of people that only in time are they going to act out the ugly nature of the spirit that they have allowed in them to manifest and take hold. Now, when you have the eyes that grow out from the brain and the optic nerve connects it, those videos that you have seen that I have posted on my YouTube channel, again, you can go to scotthensler.org and connect on the right there to the YouTube channel and go to the playlist, and you'll see reptilian manifestations, and you'll see people's eyes literally go reptile. You'll see them snake eyes. You'll see them change colors. You'll see them do all kinds of weird, bizarre things. And this tells us, because again, the eyes are the windows of the soul, that their cloaking is failing. Whatever, I think that the emotion is one of the things that causes them to come out. But also too, this is done under high speed photography. Otherwise, they'll take a video, or they'll have an image on a screen, and they'll watch a newsreel, and then they'll use another camera. And on that camera, then they can slow it down. So now you don't have the direct cloaking from the original video over to the monitoring camera. Now the second camera can decipher it as it happens. And when they slow it down is when you see these things take place. And so what that means is that these individuals are not who they appear to be. They look human. They're acting human to some degree. But in their soul, in their mind, because of the eyes, is an indication of who they are. And I believe that God has allowed that to happen. I believe that God has in our formation of who we are, and even in creation itself, that the eyes are always an indicator of what's going on. Now, again, I've mentioned that there's also, when it comes to a Jezebel, that's a whole nother animal. That's a whole nother grouping. My book on borderline personality disorder was one of the attempts to show the connection of personality disorders, those things of psychotic episodes, those things of behaviors that are in parallel with the nature of the demons that are within them. Now, one thing about a Jezebel is they're capable of seduction, even seducing other women, if they're a female. Again, the Jezebel can be of any spirit into a man or woman, but generally that particular formation of spirits prefers a woman who has been abused, prefers to come into a child or a young adult or a teenager that has been abandoned, that has really deep wounds and hurts. And it's through this self-preservation, through the will to live, but not knowing how, and so they default back to a behavior that the demons befriend them, and then they're able to live, they're able to survive. Now, they don't have a good day, it's all a lie, and eventually it crumbles on them. And in fact, I'm telling you that that the church right now is acting like a bunch of borderlines. They're acting like they're sweet. They're acting like they're nice. But there's just such destruction in there against those who are trying to bring the truth. And what does a borderline do when you try and reveal? What does a Jezebel do when you try and reveal? They become murderous. And they're very good at it. Because in their basis of their spirits is witchcraft. And when you have witchcraft, you have mind control. And in that mind control, you have familiar spirits. And if you yourself have not had these spirits or these doors closed or the legal rights taken care of, you can fall under that spell. You can be bewitched, okay? So that means you're drawn into it. This is part of that seducing. Remember, Jesus said, "This I have against you, you have allowed that Jezebel to seduce." So in this seducing, that again, the church in itself is acting like Jezebels. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that there's a line being drawn in the sand. It means you need to make a choice of who you're going to serve. I mentioned last night, you can't drink the cup of demons and the cup of Christ together. You cannot serve two masters. So I've made a choice, and I made this known to the individual the other day, that I am never going to enter into another church again. I have no reason to. I am not going to enter into any other Bible study again. Because every time I have ever tried to do that, nothing good came of it. And there were a couple of cases in the past year where there were individuals within the church who were manifesting. They were in distress. And as a first responder, I was in law enforcement. I did search and rescue. I did those things to save lives. And being in this ministry, it's my nature to come to the aid of a fellow Christian who's being assaulted by demons. It's what I do. And that's being seen as being out of order and that I have no right to do it. Now, you'll never find anywhere in Scripture that that is so. You'll never find that in anything that that's so. Because as, you know, there's even laws that if you come up upon an accident and you leave the accident, you're held potentially, especially in civil court, because in civil court you don't need to be 100% wrong or right, you can just be a percentage, to be held if that person bled out and died. That you make all reasonable, Arizona did that law, okay? Well, that's a no-brainer. If we're to love our fellow man, If we're to be here to serve, if we're here to do what we can to save them, because that's what we're doing, we're trying to make disciples of all men, then we do what we can to save them. So when I see somebody that is so heartbroken that it doesn't matter how old they are, they can't even catch their breath because their emotions are coming out of them so deeply that they're so heartbroken and so badly damaged, then how do you walk away from someone like that and not come over and comfort them? And or there's someone on the floor that's manifesting and they're shaking like they're being electrocuted. So if I come into an environment like that, which I happens, you know, a lot, and I'm by the way, I'm giving you examples of true cases that have been within the past year. And so if I did not come to the aid of these individuals, if I did not come there to lay hands, to pray, to ward off whatever spirits are attacking them, to put things back in control again. Because by the way, whenever you have somebody that's on the kitchen floor of a house and there's 50 people there, you want to see people leave. You want to see people get up on a chair as if it were a mouse. People freak out. And if I'm the only one that's got the cojones to come up to this and take care of this situation, then that's what I'm called to do. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm dealing with being chastised for coming to the aid of that situation. This was a full-fledged, full-manifested kundalini. And let me tell you, it's not a pretty sight. By the way, you've heard of the term biting, you know, coming into a convulsion that you can bite your own tongue, and or that you thrash around and retain head injuries, break a tooth, poke an eye, fall into somebody else and hurt them. Have you ever been there I've had this many times when I've been out there. That when you have somebody actually come into a full convulsion And, you know, it takes three and four people to hold them down so they don't hurt themselves and hurt others or damage the place. These are the situations that I came to the aid of. And now I'm it's just not a good situation. So I have made a choice now, because this is obviously how far we have come into these last days. That when you do the work of Jesus Christ, when you do the Great Commission, when you come and do as you've been called to do, and you're chastised for it, then the church has finally crossed over. The church is now at a point of no return. And if this is what I'm, you know, going to continue and try and associate with myself, with them, then I'm in the wrong. Because we're not to associate with those who do wicked things. Because to condone the situation where someone's in distress, that the aid should not take place, or at least not from myself, then what we have is we have narcissism. What we have are controlling spirits. What we have is an anti-Christ spirit. Do you understand? If we are to be Christ-like, and Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, then we are to come to the aid of our brethren. We're to do what we're called to do and use the power, the dunamis, the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And if we do not, then we're seen as rebellion. Now, am I going to now come back into the enemy's camp? Because that's what it is. Every time I go into a church, a disaster happens. I mean, and it's bad. I can sit in the back, and within 6 months, something goes wrong. I can try and stay away from everybody, and something goes wrong. And it's because the demons are running the church. And because of the light and the deliverance and the Holy Spirit and those things we've been called to do, when I bring them in to do the works of the Lord that we've been called to do, the demons run interference. And you ever play rugby or ever watch it? What a brutal game, right? I can remember the first time that I saw rugby, and it was at Arizona State University. And I was just a kid. I was, you know, I don't know how old I was, but I wasn't very old. I was shocked. There were so many people injured and hurt. There were people who were knocked unconscious for this, you know, ball game, that it kind of left an impression on me, who's dumb enough to do such a thing? Because the injuries that are sustained during those games are amazing. Well, is that what's going on here? I'm going into a church and now I'm in a game of rugby, that the Holy Spirit is the ball and everybody's trying to grab it from me? Is that what's going on? I say all this because I want everyone to understand and take a look at what's going on in their church if you're still going. Look, there may be churches that give the appearance of it, but even let me bring something up here. There's a church in Phoenix that supposedly does deliverance. Okay? But they're also teaching that they're denying that the Book of Enoch was part of Scripture, when in fact it was, and was removed out of the canons in 400 AD. And as I mentioned before, the reason that it was taken out is because it reveals to us the very nature of demons and where they came from. Okay? Now, if you're a deliverance minister, I can assure you that anyone that I've ever known that's in deliverance ministry that ever came across the Book of Enoch went, wow, this answers everything. Now I get it. Well, if that's not happening, then there's something wrong. So what's going on here? It's called controlled opposition. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to base this on the very fact of people who throw up goat head, people who do the Illuminati sign, the Freemason signs, those things. If you know, the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them, right? So let's say that we have a large number of individuals who are SRA, who are satanically ritually abused, and or that have something to that manner, Monarch, MK Ultra, whatever the deal is, which is all part of that. And you have potentially thousands of them all over the place because they can come out of small occults, okay? Doesn't mean that it came from one, quote, organized group. Well, what better way to hold tabs or to do a head count or find out who's who out there that is SRA than to have a ministry that dedicates themselves to SRAs? Because SRAs are going to naturally gravitate to such a place, and now they can keep tabs on them. Now they know who's who. Now they have exposed themselves. They've come out of the forest. They've revealed themselves, and now a head count can be done. A documentation of who's who. Those things that that would be just like NSA is keeping track on us. So what I'm saying is that this particular ministry in Phoenix, I have concerns that they are ones who basically are running what's called control opposition. They're running a type of interference to continue to spread the lie. Again, if you can't beat them, join them. So what did the Catholic Church do? They then started these other religions. What did the Masons do? They started these religions. They started these denominations. They started these doctrines. What did the Zionists do? Again, controlled opposition. And so our churches are full of this particular type of behavior that is actually an antichrist behavior. If you see a brother and sister who's suffering, that we, you know, you need to remember we're also warned not to cause our brother to stumble. And by turning your back on the individual, now I'm also cautioning that not everybody is prepared to deal with some of the cases like Julie and I deal with. Some of these are extreme hard cases, and some of you still have open doors. And if you try and minister to someone, you can actually have a transfer of a demon over to you. I've seen this over and over and over again. In fact, I've had many deliverances that were interfered with because a third-party person came in and tried to intervene. And what was going on is the demons within that individual ran interference. And whenever you have that opposition that comes in, then you have those people who are supposedly in Christ that now are not in agreement with each other. When we're not in agreement, when we're not standing two and more, then a house divided cannot stand. And I have seen deliverances absolutely crumble and fall from the interference. That's the nature. That's the thing. Now, let me run through these real quick. Again, false teachers, you know, on tinfoilhatclub.com last night. If you haven't been there yet, Julie and I are there on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And again, I'm going to continue with Tuesdays and Thursdays here on this show. But false teachers, TBN, these guys on TV, they're not going to be on TV unless they're playing ball, like T.D. Jakes. Sorry. Don't even go there. Don't even listen to them. They're just spewing their demons all over you. Again, false Christians. Again, you'll know these Christians by their fruit and by the way they behave, the ones that call themselves. Laws of intent. You know, the laws that are being passed out there are to bind us, to keep us from having our rights, to keep us from exercising the Constitution. And so, again, we're in the eye of the storm, and by these laws that are being passed, especially for coming against the right to bear arms and freedom of speech, when this all hits, it's going to be like the tornado, the back end is coming in at us. Now, this can also come from your own friends and family. It doesn't have to come from those in the church. And so, who is your brother and who is your sister in Christ? Now, brown shirts. Brown shirts is a term coined from World War II with Nazi Germany, that those individuals who were willing to go along with the plan, you know, you saw Obama say that he was going to start another military, another citizens law enforcement that was going to be bigger and more powerful than the U.S. military. Well, that should have been a red flag right there. that anybody, and this is what I noticed when I was in law enforcement, whenever they did a psych, interview, you had to determine what was the reasoning behind the individual wanting to come into law enforcement. Were they somebody who wanted to throw their power around because now they're wearing a badge? And so brown shirts, those who are just like that, that would never, ever be able to pass the psych exam to come into law enforcement, are now going to be running the show. We see this with, you know, if you own a home and you're in some kind of community and you've got, you know, the laws that are within that community because of the, you know, you entered into contract, guaranteed that a feminazi is at the top of the chain of that whole thing. It's every time. Okay. By the way, these are also the individuals who are going to be most likely going to take the mark. In fact, I guarantee you that many of the people in the Christian church are going to be taking the mark. Because with this Antichrist spirit that they have, denying the power, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which there is no return, ladies and gentlemen. There is no return when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. When you deny the power of God, when you deny an individual who's acting in the power of God, just as Jesus was, and the Pharisees, you know, accused him of doing the power of Beelzebub, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And nothing good comes of that, I can assure you. All right. Now, are there reptilians among us? Absolutely. So, has anyone seen a strange manifestation? I was mentioning that I was doing a deliverance. Now, adults, reptilians, don't come into deliverance. But a child being brought in by a grandmother does, where they don't have a right to say what they want. They come in, the child comes in by force. And that situation happened, and I had a reptilian manifestation before me where this young boy, tongue came out, and it was absolutely serpent. And for a long time, I was thinking that it was just a demon manifestations, but now that I know more about reptilians, there's no question about that. So yes. Those people who pretend to be religious, doesn't matter what group they're from, whether they're Jehovah's Witness, whether they're Mormons, whether they're whatever the situation is, they're also carrying with them the Antichrist spirit. You need to remember that. Not the Antichrist, but a Antichrist spirit. One that denies the power of Jesus. Now, technology is going to be a big part of this. I'm going to run over a little bit, so I'm going to go just over an hour. Technology is going to be a big part of this with the cyclotronics we were talking about. That many of those people that are under the influence already, and the hive communication with basically the handlers, that many of those people through electronic means are going to be controlled. That those who you know are going to go along with the plan, just like gang stalking. In fact, that's part of the next thing here. Is that when they gang stalk and they succeed in the task that was given to them, that their cell phones through the ELF and through the microwave actually give them a reward through the stimulation of dopamine into their minds. And so they get a fix. They get a high. They get a reward. And these gang stalkers, most of them come from a bad situation. They were brought into the FEMA camps. A lot of them were brought into Berkeley, there in California, run through a training program, learning how to be a gang stalker, how to run the technology, and now they have a car. Now they're fed. Now they live in an apartment, and they've got money in their pocket when they were living on the streets. Okay, that's where these people are coming from. And so we can go back to brown shirts. It's pretty much the same thing. They're willing to do crimes against humanity, against their fellow Americans. Pretty sad situation. And I'm sorry that when this comes down, those in the church are going to do the very, very same thing. Now, again, to finish out, when demons are up in an individual, it means that you can actually be talking to somebody, and in reality, you're not talking to the core person. you're not talking to who that person really was. That the demons have completely possessed the individual, but they're in control to where they're not acting. So otherwise, when you have this, it may actually be, quote, a fallen angel. Because the fallen angel is, though he would not pass a psych test, meaning that he would be declared insane, they're not going to act crazy. Now, demons will act crazy. So you see the difference? So these individuals could literally be a fallen angel that has walked in or that thing of reptilian, which again is part of that offspring. But in a demon in itself, most of them are just crazy. Most of them are insane. Most of them have such pride that they want to do what they want to do. In fact, I think that, you know, as I mentioned before, there's no honor amongst thieves. Then in the spirit realm, all hell is breaking loose all the time. I just can't even imagine the insanity of it, and that even the fallen angels are fit to be tied. You know, it's like having a bunch of kids that are rowdy. Now, again, with demonization versus possession, what you can have is a person who has demons, they're infected with it, they're in their body, they're maybe in their mind, but they're not possessed, they're not taken over. And so once in a while you'll get a manifestation, once in a while you'll get a bad dream, you'll get a visitation, you'll do something you wish you hadn't done, but it doesn't mean you're possessed. Okay? Your spirit, you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are a bondservant, and so you're under that covering. But unfortunately, many people in the church, I'm sorry, are possessed. I'm sorry. Now, you can be born under a curse. Okay? So, you remember the song Bad to the Bone? Okay? That song was really based on that. That there's a point where the curse of the bastard or the curse of murder or the curse of Antichrist is upon a family that you can actually have children, because you need to remember this. And people, again, those in the church that can't comprehend this, look at how many people are going to perish. There's only a small remnant for the last days. Everyone else is going to the lake of fire. And so when you look at the big picture and you understand that that's what's going on, that many people are actually born into death, that there's a curse upon the family, that the Antichrist has taken over them so much that they are not going to be saved. They are not going to accept Christ. They are going to perish. That's a fact. Because if you deny that, then you're denying that the end of days, how bad it's going to be. And as sad as it is, I'm sorry. So we're literally seeing children. Think about this. I mean, it's horrible. When, you know, going to a grocery store or a bank or or just out on the street somewhere, and you see a family with their kids, that those little children, many of them are going to the lake of fire. And though I have said that there's a point of accountability, that we need to remember that the sins of the father can go on to the third and fourth generation. So when you have a family that has embraced the occult, a family that has done, that is part of Freemasonry, when you have a family that accepts the doctrine of Luciferianism, then the individual has literally cursed the family, and that the children are going. So many people that have relatives that were Masons and did not accept Christ, unfortunately, are going to the lake of fire for that very reason, that the family cursed them, the grandfather or the father cursed them. So again, liberalism is not just a mental disorder. It is demon possession. And the eye of the storm, we're in it right now. Though things are not good, they're not as bad as they will get. I've mentioned this before, that now is actually the good days. Okay, we used to say the 50s and the 60s, you know, and the 40s after the war and all this and that. No, now it is, because at least I can still talk on the air. At least I can send emails to each other. I can use my cell phone. My door is open that people can come in. So these are the good days. And these are the days we need to embrace. Because when this all comes to a stop, though the Holy Spirit's going to continue to work. Now, the pre-tribbers will tell you that the Holy Spirit will be out of here. That's absolutely insane. So they want you to tell you all is lost unless you've invited the pre-trib, and then you're going to get out of here. Okay, it's another brainwashing. It's another attempt to keep people from doing the works of Christ, the Great Commission, because you think then all's, you know, there's no need to do it anymore. In fact, that's one of the tactics when voting comes along, is that the media will then say that somebody is at a certain points ahead and actually insinuate that it's worthless to go to the polls and vote because there's such a landslide on the other end, when in fact that's not the case at all. So be very careful of that. That's part of that trickery, which again is a mind control and witchcraft. All right. I'm just going through here and looking at the... I made a promise to God a long time ago, over 10 years ago, that if you send them to me, that I will minister to them. And so, even though I'm being dragged through the mud right now, I did what I promised God I would do. Do you get that? I still did it. And I'm going to still do it, but I'm not going to walk into the enemy's camp anymore. Okay, we're told how God will prepare a table before our enemies. But you know what? You go looking for trouble, you're going to find it. Don't test our Lord. So I finally have gotten the word that I'm done. And I kind of made that decision a long time ago, but now it's been confirmed. And so what do I do? Well, I'm going to continue to do what I do. And if people call me and people email, and by the way, I'm behind on everything. My workload doubled trying to get these websites done. And so I'm getting a little caught up. Many of you I will call on Saturday. By the way, I'm off of Facebook, but I don't know why. But for some reason, people are still sending me messages through Facebook. I don't know why that's working. It's because they're being directed out of Facebook, and I'm not on Facebook anymore. I canceled the account. So if I don't answer back, I don't know how to answer you, because I have to log back in. So I don't know why it's doing that. I may have to reopen the account to try and fix that, but I'm not going to do that for now. I've got too much on my plate. All right. Well, God bless everyone. Tomorrow night, Julie will be back for Friday. And again, what we're doing with Tin Foil Hat Club is for those that are searching, those who are lost, those who are in the occult, those who are new age, that need to be witnessed to, because we're called to go do that. And so that's what we're going to do. I wash my hands of those who call themselves Christians within the churches. And, of course, those who call me and need help, you know, absolutely, take them in. But, again, we need to go after the lost, because now the time is extremely short. And so that is what we're called to do, and so that's what we're going to focus on. And that was the whole point of that, trying to get away from the religion, trying to get away from calling this Christianity, and just giving them the facts, you know. Sergeant Friday, just the facts, ma'am. And by the way, there's people who say that didn't take place. No, I actually saw the episode, so it did. That actually did take place, just the facts, ma'am. So anyways... All right, God bless everyone, and so those that want to be there for tomorrow night, join us. God bless.